God created. Now, notice this word, create. This word, create, comes from a Hebrew word, which is bara. And you know what it means? It means to create, and this is a word that theologians use, ex nihilo. Now, once again, a big word, ex nihilo, but you know what that means? It means basically out of nothing.
Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the greatness of God seen in creating animals. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of the greatness of God seen in creating animals.
Matthew chapter 6 and verse 26. Matthew 6 and verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air.
Amen.
Behold the fowls of the air. The word behold means to take a look at. It means to gaze upon. It means to stare at. It means to meditate upon. Behold, take a look at the fowl of the air. We want to talk about the greatness of God as seen in creating the animals, that we serve a great God, a God that would do all that for the birds, a God that thought far enough ahead that he gave the bird everything that he would need to fly and to provide for himself. This is a great God. How great is our God? We have notes for you today, and I'm going to ask that you would pull out your notes and follow along as we share the message. Now, this is a sermon, so there is preaching, but a part of the lesson today is going to be some teaching. And I would hope and pray that you would take these notes and file them away, and maybe even, you know, the way I tried to design these notes is that if you want to sit down with your kids, you know, maybe however old they are, that you could actually walk through this material. Now, it's going to be up to you to provide the illustrations and things of that nature, but I tried to put it in such a format that you would understand it, because it's some very technical and some very heavy information, but I tried to break it down into bite-sized forms, so hopefully you'll be able to grab a hold of what we're trying to say today and look at the marvel of God. But we are in the midst of a series, and the title of the series is How Great is Our God? How Great is Our God? And we saw that God is great as we looked at the Psalms last week. We did an in-depth study last week on the greatness of God. And now we want to begin to focus on different aspects of God and his greatness. Now, we said that we are going to keep this study focused on, because if we just talked about the greatness of God, we could go on for several years just talking about God's greatness. But we have tried to keep this study focused on the greatness of God in creation. That's going to be our focus. Like I said, if we opened it up, we'd be here for years trying to study the greatness of God. So we want to look at creation. And this morning, we want to look at the greatness of God in creating the animals. That God created all the animals that are on the face of this earth. And a little bit later, we're going to focus specifically on the birds. That's why I showed the clip here beginning. But we want to focus on all animals as we open up. Open your Bibles to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis. And this maybe will help some of you who are in college. I know at no other time was my faith attacked than when I was a college student. So hopefully some of the stuff that we'll share with you today, we're not trying to equip you to go out and argue the point, but we're just trying to equip you so that you can feel confident in yourself that you do have the truth and that you can stand for the truth. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly moving creatures that have life, and fowl may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great sea monsters, or sea creatures, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the foul multitude in the earth, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. The fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creature after its kind, and creeping thing, and the beast of the earth after its kind, and so it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after its kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after its kind, and God saw that it was good. God's greatness seen in creating the animals. If you open your notes and follow along with me these first couple points. First of all, we see God's creation of the animals. On the fifth and sixth days of creation, God created. Now, notice this word, create. This word, create, comes from a Hebrew word, which is bara. And you know what it means? It means to create, and this is a word that theologians use, ex nihilo. Now, once again, a big word, ex nihilo, but you know what that means? It means basically out of nothing. So when it says that God created the animals, that it means God shaped elephants, lions, tigers, bears, birds, sea creatures, all type of creatures, that God spoke those into existence. There was absolutely nothing there. There was nothing there. Now, evolutionists want to believe that God had to have something to work with. But I don't want a God who needs something to work with. If I got a God, I want a God who can do it with nothing there. And the Bible says that he bara, that God, not Asa, made. That's another Hebrew word that's used. The word Asa is used for made. If God made something, he made it out of something else. But it didn't use the word Asa. It used the word bara, that God created ex nihilo out of nothing. What a great God. What a great God we have. Amen. Amen. God's creation of the animals. You might want to remember that word, because if you read any Christian books or theological books, you may run across that word again, ex nihilo. Now, see, I'm not the type of person, you know me, I don't like to say, say such and such a thing, or repeat after me, or let the church say, but I'm going to say this, because I think that you need to know this word. Say ex nihilo.
Ex nihilo.
Which means out of?
Out
of nothing. Amen. Out of nothing, that God created the animals out of nothing. Let's look at the uniqueness of God's creation of the animals. Even though no one knows exactly how many different types of animals there are, it has been estimated that the number of species has ranged from a few million for the world to more than a tenth of a billion in the oceans, just in the oceans. So at creation, it's amazing to think of all the animals that God created, just how he spoke. Now, right here, it says that, and nobody knows exactly how many different species of animals there are on the earth. It's unknown. But when they started to try to figure it out, they stopped after a few million. What a mighty God we serve. That God created all these species of animals that man can't even number. Now, despite the numerous species of animals that God created, the Genesis record says that he created each one after its kind. You'll notice there, it says several times in the text, after its kind, after its kind, after its kind, after its kind. Well, what does it mean? I hate to bust some bubbles in here today. And one bad thing about a sermon is that a sermon is mostly a monologue, and if we had opportunity for dialogue, then we'd be able to talk back and forth. But I just want to let you know, if you do want to have a dialogue, that I'm open to that. You just call, somebody say, well, I need to have a meeting with you. I said, well, you know how to get in touch with me. Yeah, my secretary takes all my appointments, so just call her and she'll set it up. So if you have a problem with what I'm going to say today, by all means, I think the number is right there in the bulletin, you can give me a call. And we'll sit down and we'll talk, and I'll let you give your point of view, and then I'll show you where you're wrong. All right. But it says here that God created each animal after its kind. Well, what does this mean? This means that each species of animal was individually created. and that God did not use, or that animals did not evolve from one species to the next. Somebody, you know, said that, well, we came from a monkey. And I was thinking, you know, I know when some of my relatives, you know, and many of us as African Americans, if we go back and trace our history, we might find that some of our relatives hung from a tree by their neck, but they never hung by their tail. Some of y'all get that a little bit later. Never hung by their tail. And as we think about evolution, what is it trying to tell us? It's trying to tell us that at one point that we were monkeys. Now, as I put this little chart together in the notes, I would hope that it'd be helpful to somebody here today. Now, once again, especially if you're a high school student, junior high student, even elementary student, and a college student, that you will face some of these arguments right here. And once again, if you want to sit down and talk, we can go in at length and we can talk in more detail about this. But during a sermon, you know, I have to try to hit the point and move on. But I want to look at, you know, what are the two types of evolution, all right? And once again, I'm trying to make this as simple as I can in order to get to my point, which is the preaching, all right? There's microevolution and there's macroevolution. Well, what is the difference between microevolution and macroevolution? Well, the meaning is found in the words. Micro means small, and macro means big. So what is microevolution? Microevolution says that we can have changes within a species, that we can have different varieties of dogs, that we can have different varieties of cats, that we can have changes within a species. That's microevolution, which is, let me just move on with my chart. Then there is macroevolution. And what is macroevolution? Well, macroevolution says that that there was actually change from one species to another. Now, what is an example of microevolution? An example of microevolution is the fact that dog breeders can breed dogs and produce a new type of dog. Now, I just want to say this, and I hope that I don't offend anybody today, but I believe, once again, I'm not saying this is Bible, and I'm not saying that I'll go to war on this, but I believe that when God created the dogs, he created all pure breed dogs. I don't think God created any mutts, all right? Now, once again, I don't mean to offend anybody or upset you, all right? I'm just trying to tell you what the deal is. That I believe that God created all greyhounds and shepherds, and I believe that he created pure breed dogs. Now, how do we get the different dogs that we have today? How do we get junkyard dogs? Well, because of what? Inbreeding. And so that's, you know what that is? That's microevolution. That you can have changes within a species. But then the other group would have us to believe that there is what's called macroevolution. And what is macroevolution? Well, macroevolution is a transition from one species to another species. And some I saw this here, this word farm somewhere, and what it meant is that we can go from fish to amphibian to reptile and then to mammal, all right? And that we can do that over a period of time. If you put up that next chart with the, and this is not clear, this is the best I could do. I was trying to find this chart, but this is the best I could do. You can see, and once again, I know it's fuzzy, but you can see where it starts off at the very bottom right hand as kind of an amoeba and, you know, just some mass that's out there, some living mass. And then what happens? It moves to, you know, a tadpole and then a fish, and then it becomes a bigger fish, and eventually it grows legs and begins to move up on land, and then it walks up on land, and then it's like a little creeping thing on land, and then all of a sudden it starts to stand up a little bit. It's still got a little hump in its back, but it starts to stand up, and as time goes on, it gets a little straighter and straighter, and then eventually it straightens up and it becomes a man. My goodness, it takes more faith to believe that than to believe that, and God said, let it be. You know, as I look at that, man, there's a whole lot, as one child said, there's a whole lot of splaining to do with that. There's too much splaining to do, you know, to try to explain that how that, you know, all of a sudden there was nothing, and somewhere in the existence of time in the past, you know, there was just some little cells that were just floating around, you know, out there in space, just floating around, and then all of a sudden they were energized or connected somewhere, and it began to develop life, and unbelievable. But that's that chart right there. That's a picture of macro evolution. That is a transition from one species to the next species. All right, stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Now, what about from a genetic standpoint? Well, within the species, if you go back, those who study DNA and genetics, within a species, there's already the genes and everything needed to do the transition within a species. But if you look at transition from a fish to a snake to a alligator to a man, that there's no genetic makeup that's similar in all of them that could even make that possible. It's absolutely genetically impossible for an ape to become a man. You know, it's just the genes, the genetic makeup is completely different. So we see that in microevolution, that the genes are there to make this happen, but in macroevolution, it's not even there. It's not even possible. So what is the conclusion? The conclusion is that we can observe microevolution. We can observe the changes within species, but in macroevolution, there is absolutely no evidence of a change from one species to another. As a matter of fact, there is over, and once again, I'm teaching. I'm going to get to some preaching here. If you'll go back on that last slide. You know, there, scientists and geologists and all those who study, you know, they have found over a quarter of a million different fossils, and not one is a missing link. As a matter of fact, wanted, dead or alive, if you can find a fishigator or if you can find a manrilla, then we have some missing links. Now, once again, this is a character, which is an exaggeration. However, you know, out of all the fossils that they have found, over 250,000 fossils, they have said that they have found certain things that were missing links, but after they studied them, they found out that it was not. But they're saying that, you know, this is what's happening, that all of a sudden a fish turns into an alligator or a man turns into a gorilla. So we don't have the evidence for the missing links in evolution. So as we think about that, why don't we just come to the conclusion and accept the fact that God said it, and that's the way that it happened. But man can't accept God, and man has to try to explain away God. And when man tries to explain away God, that's when they come up with the theories of evolution. When they try to explain that there was no God. When atheists try to explain that there is no God. And I told people the other day, you know, there's a holiday for atheists. And it's found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 24 and verse 1. And it's April Fool's Day. The fool have said in his heart, there is no God. So the fool tries to explain away God with theories like this. Now, as we continue on our journey this morning, we wanted to look at the birds. The birds are an example of God's handiwork. That's why I showed that video up front, because I wanted us to see the wisdom and knowledge that God used in creating the birds. I'm gonna ask that you would bear with me for a second as I read through where it says the birds, an example of God's greatness in the creation of animals. Follow along with me as I read. To focus on the magnificence of God in the animal creation, we will focus on the birds. Birds are an excellent example of the handiwork of God in creation. On the fifth day of creation, God made every winged fowl. It has been estimated that there are over 9,000 species of birds. In an article entitled, Birds Can Fly, Why Can't I?, the author points out the amazing forethought and intelligent design that went into the bodily structure of birds for flight. In search of an answer to why humans can't fly, some people have compared the bones in a bird's wing to those in our arm. This is obviously similarly, yet there is an important difference. The wing was designed to fly, and your arm was not. Even if you could cover your arm with feathers, you still couldn't fly. Your bones may look like those of a bird's wing, but they can never serve the same flight function. A bird's bones are virtually hollow. All right, virtually hollow, like the strands of macaroni or straw. To fly, you would need enormous wings. But how could you flap your wings? Your muscle would tire too easily. Birds have two strong sets of breast muscle, a large set to control the wings' downstrokes, and a smaller set to control the upstrokes. So, you know, even if you could fly, you wear yourself out trying to fly. Just out of one set of muscles, just do this. You know, I was, me and my granddaughter last night, she came over and we had this walk away to pounds. You know, we was doing this walk away to pounds video. And we was walking and then they said, get some weights. And so we got the weight, I got some weights, and my granddaughter, I gave her two cans of vegetables and she was holding them. Then it said, okay, go up. All right, they said, do this, do this. They said, go like this. We was walking, my granddaughter said, Pop, Pop, I'm getting a little tired here. I didn't want to say anything, but I was getting tired too. I was wearing out. You see, can you imagine what it'd be like? I mean, just that little bit of stuff, like that. Walk away to pounds will wear you out. You can imagine what trying to fly, and these birds, man, they be flying long distances. And yet still, they're able to stay up there and they're able to keep their wings going. Why is it? Because God designed the bird to fly. And he didn't design us as human beings to fly. Even a bird's beak is designed to save weight. Unlike the human jaw, which is a heavy bone, a bird's beak is a lightweight horn. This too shows perfect planning in the bird's creation. But let's suppose somehow you somehow had wings at the right length. You still couldn't fly like a bird. You don't have air-filled bags in your stomach like those that lie between the bird's heart, lung, stomach, and other organs. The bird's air sacs are connected to its lungs, and during flight, air flows through them. This rapidly feeds the bird's body tissue with life-supporting oxygen while keeping it light in the air. So in other words, it's just like the man pointed out on the video, is that, and I watched it this morning. When I go outside in the morning, I go out about 6 o'clock every morning and have my devotions. I sit on my porch and read my Bible. And so I was out there this morning reading, and I said, look, since I'm preaching about the birds, let me look at the birds. And there was birds flying. I mean, there's some birds that were soaring, and then some birds were flapping real hard. And I said, the ones that landed, I said, I'm going to watch them. And they landed. You didn't see their chest moving at all. They weren't breathing hard at all. Why? Because God designed them to allow the air to flow through their body. You know, we as individuals, our lungs fill up with air. And if we start running, you know, we start running, I don't care how far you run, if you run hard enough, what's going to happen?
For joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of the greatness of God seen in creating animals. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Greatness of God Seen in Creating Animals, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Greatness of God Seen in Creating Animals. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Greatness of God Seen in Creating Animals, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.